I think I'm in order now. Can you hear me? I think we've all been moved by what we've seen. And while we pray for these depressed areas of the world, Zimbabwe, Afghanistan, Pakistan, let's pray for the United States of America. My dad always used to tell me, and I still believe it's true, with all its faults and shortcomings, the United States of America is the best place in the world to be. But it needs prayer, because this country is going down and down and down. Now, thank you, Brother Joe. We continue our subject from our last meeting, wait on the Lord. Not wait, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14, the first clause reads, wait on the Lord. The last clause reads, wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waits silently for the Lord. Verse 5. My soul waits silently on the Lord. Not wait, wait on the Lord. I mentioned the Secretary of State which we had. Jimmy Burns was his name. And he was characterized by one thing. He liked to wait, but he wasn't waiting on the Lord. And you remember the prophet Jonah? He waited too, but he didn't wait on the Lord. Now, last time we looked at some believers who did not wait on the Lord. Today we want to look at some believers who did wait on the Lord. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Verses 5 through 10, pardon me. Genesis 37, starting at verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it to his brethren, and they hated him for it. He said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. His brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? And they hated him. He dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what dream is this that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves to thee? And his brothers envied him. His brothers envied him. Genesis chapter 45. that dream was given to him by God himself. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye did sell me hither. God sent me. That was Joseph's final word to his brethren. He was conscious all through his problems that he was in touch with God, that he was walking with God, walking in God's way. Now let's go back a little bit, please, to chapter 37. He had this dream given by God. Chapter 37, verse 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than his brethren, they hated him. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him the more. Verse 8. His brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet more. My, my, my. A divine revelation given to Joseph, and they hate him for it. You know, that's how they feel about us today. They hate us. And you have people in the United States Congress, male and female. If they had their way, they would exterminate every child of God. Because we trust and are waiting on the living God. Verse 18. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him. Oh my, how they hated him. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood. Cast him into this pit that is by the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, that he might rid them of their hands to deliver them to his father." It came to pass when Joseph was come before them, they stripped him. Oh, they hated him. They stripped him. All because he had a revelation from God. Isn't that amazing? And as I said, it's the same thing today. God's people are hated and despised. Well, you know what they say about us? They say we're living in the dark ages. They say that we are, our minds are backward. We haven't made progress. That's what the world thinks of us. Let's read on. Verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped him of his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Verse 28, then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. All this to a man who was waiting on God. You waiting on the Lord, beloved? You have problems? The Lord said in the world you're going to have problems, testings, trials, and tribulations. Let's read on. Chapter 39. Verse 20. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now notice verse 21. But the Lord was with him. And why was the Lord with him? Because he trusted in the Lord. He waited on the Lord. Joseph and showed Joseph mercy. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Isn't that amazing? The keeper of the prison could tell that the Lord was with him. That must have been some communion. In prison, and the prisoner could tell that the Lord was with him. He was in communion with the Lord. He was waiting on the Lord. Chapter 40, please. Chapter 40 and verse 23. You remember he was put in prison? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. Put in prison and forgotten. But he wasn't forgotten by God. His communion with God was maintained. Chapter 41. And I call this mission accomplished. Chapter 41, verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. The prophecy, the dream fulfilled. He waited on the Lord. And please note, he didn't complain. He was silent, even in his agony, as we say of the Lord. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee no man shall lift his hand. Isn't that great? In prison, beaten, hated, stripped, but he walked with the Lord. His faith was in the Lord, and ultimately, the Lord gave him victory. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, beside Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us? Is it not the voice that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve? Oh, they were in the bad circumstances, weren't they? What did Moses say to them? Verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. Don't get upset, don't complain, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Wait on the Lord. I'm reminded of one of the men under whom I trained in surgery. And I'd be assisting him, and he would get to that delicate part of the operation. And he would say, Garnes, keep still. Keep still. Keep still. And while he's pursuing that delicate part, all he wanted me to do, I could breathe, but don't do anything else. Keep still and let the Lord do what he's going to do. And what was the end result of this? Verse 31. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord. Stand still. Walk before the Lord. Don't fear the enemy. Fear the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We look at another. Joshua chapter 14. Our brother here spoke to us about Caleb a few weeks ago. Let's read about him again. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I. Please note that. He was 40 years old when this thing was said. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. And I wholly followed the Lord. Now, verse 9. Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. How old is he now? 85. When was the promise made to him? When he was 40 years old. Here's a man waited 45 years on the Lord. Anybody here waiting that long? Let me see your hand. Just wait on the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. Caleb waited 45 years and he got his reward. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I don't know how you feel about these readings, but as you can tell, they thrill me. Wait on the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't rush. Don't hide. And don't complain. Wait on the Lord and wait silently. That's the word for us today. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary, Peninnah, also provoked her to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Peninnah provoked her. What did Hannah do? Verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed. Oh my, isn't that nice? Peninnah provoked her, but she prayed. She was waiting on the Lord. Let's read on. Verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Peninnah didn't provoke her because she didn't have a man-child. In Peninnah's view, whether she had a boy or male or female, it wouldn't make any difference. Why did Hannah pray for a male child? I suggest that when you go home, you look that up. Hannah prayed for a male child because she had deep spiritual insight. But we read on. Verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spake in her heart only. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. She waited quietly. Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Isn't that nice? She was waiting on the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Then Eli said unto her, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat. Her countenance was no more sad. They arose in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house in Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son. Isn't that nice? She asked for a son, and he gave her a son. And I ask you again, why didn't she ask for a girl? Look it up. Bear a son, call his name Samuel, saying, Because I've asked him of the Lord. And the man that came, Elkanah and his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifices. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and abide there. How long? Forever. She asked for a man-child to abide before the Lord forever. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't it nice from time to time as the little ones are brought that we present them before the Lord that they may abide before the Lord. And Elkanah, verse 23, her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. She asked for a son, and he gave her a son. As I said, when you go home, find out the reason why he wanted a son. But now come with me to chapter 2. Verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that remind you of the verse in Ephesians that if we look to the Lord, he will answer exceeding abundantly above? She only asked for 1 son. He gave her 3 more and 2 daughters. She waited on the Lord. Oh, beloved, in the midst of much trial, wait on the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 1. The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. The Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto him whom I will name. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, the elders of the town troubled at his coming and said, "Comest thou in peace?" He said, "Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Now, notice carefully as we read. It came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." That was Samuel's event. But the Lord said, "Look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord seeth a man, seeth not as man seeth. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass before him, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen this." Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are there here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep." Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him." Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? I don't know how you feel about these readings, but I enjoy them. All these 11 sons, handsome, tall, good-looking, fine stature, the Lord said, "No. Bring that little shepherd boy." He's there. Doesn't that thrill you? Waiting on the Lord. And he will decide. Not the great men of this world. Was it last week a great man of this world died? I don't remember his name. He was a newspaper man. Oh, they made a lot of fuss about this man. And as I listened to the TV and read the news, I said to myself, "I wonder where he is. Is he in heaven or is he below?" Waiting on the Lord. "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." God's chosen man. Chapter 18. Verse 9. God's chosen man now. 18, verse 9. "Saul eyed David from that day and forward. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Saul cast a javelin, for he said, 'I will smite David.'" Oh my. "I will smite David." David escaped. The David that kings, the Lord said, he is going to be king. And Saul tries to smite him. What did David do? "Lord, what's happening? He's trying to kill me." He waited quietly and patiently. Chapter 19, verse 9. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. David played with his hand. Saul sought to smite David. What would you do? "Lord, you said I'm going to be king and this man is trying to kill me." No, David didn't do that. He waited quietly and patiently. especially you younger ones at school, wait on the Lord. You never regret it. Chapter 20. Verse 1. David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeks my life? Verse 10. Then David said to Jonathan, who tell me, or what is thy father? Why does thy father answer so roughly? Saul hated David and wanted to kill him. But God said David is the next king. Who's going to win? Verse 31. Saul is speaking and he says, as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, he shall surely die. Saul was out to kill David. But God had appointed David to be the next ruler of the land. Chapter 22. Verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having a spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood by him, hear you now, you Benjaminites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands, of captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? There is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. There is none of you that is sorry for me. My, my, my. He sounds like a spoiled child, doesn't he? Big king, trying to kill David and talk about nobody feels sorry for me. You wouldn't accept it from your child, would you? And that is how these mighty men behave. In their ignorance, they talk like fools. Like spoiled children. We read on. Verse 17. The king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand is with David. Oh my. He couldn't get David, so he got the priests that were in favor of David. Chapter 24, verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of Argon. 3,000 men to seek one little fellow. You know why? He was really afraid. God said David is to be the next king. Saul tried to destroy him, but he knew he couldn't. But let's read on. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good. Then David arose and cut the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to arise against Saul. David had a chance to kill Saul, but he waited on the Lord. Isn't that nice? Oftentimes in business we have a chance to get a gain. I remember with my father, there was some business deal, I don't know the details, but my father's lawyer said, now, if you do so-and-so, you will win the case, and this man will have nothing. My father said, no, I can't do that. And that man, his appointed, and my father became the best of friends. He refused to take advantage, even as David did. The Lord made Saul king. David said, I'm going to wait till he makes me king. But read on. Chapter 24. Chapter 26. We just read 24. Chapter 26. Verse 1. The Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshuan? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshmon, by the way. David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was coming very deep. David rose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched around him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the Zeruite, a brother of Joab, who will go down with me to the camp of Saul? Abishai said, I will go down. David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, his spear stuck in the ground of his bolster. But Abner, the people, lay around. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Therefore, let us smite him, I pray thee, with the spear. David, verse 9, answered, destroy him not. Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed? What a man David was. The man that wanted to kill him, twice he spared his life. Why? He was waiting on the Lord. He had a chance to get rid of Saul, but he said no. Now come with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 2. Remember, David was anointed to be king. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass after this. Oh, I'm a little ahead of myself. You know I'm getting old. I can't even read my own notes. That happens. So young people don't get old. Then you'll be able to read your notes. Second Samuel chapter 2, did I say? All right. Verses 1 and 4. 1 to 4. It came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go into the cities of Judah? The Lord said unto him, Go up. David said, Whither shall I go? So David went up thither with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Nabal, wife of Carmelite. His men that were with him did David bring every man with his household. And they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. The men of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. But Samuel anointed him to be king over all Israel. And here he's king over just one kingdom, one tribe. Did David complain? Did David say, Lord, what's happening? You promised me 12 and I only got one. He waited on the Lord. Chapter 3. Verse 1. There was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Chapter 5. Remember now, he's king over one tribe. The Lord had promised him all 12. And he didn't complain. He just waited quietly and patiently. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy flesh and thy blood. In time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in. The Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron and made a league with David, saying, and they anointed David king. Isn't that interesting? He's king over one tribe. No complaints. And then the 11 come and say, we want you to be king. What happened? He waited on the Lord. I say, I don't know how you feel about this, but this thrills me. He waited on the Lord. He only had one. He didn't complain, and he got the other 11 later on. Well, the time is passing quickly. We may not be able to finish. Let's look at one more. 1 Kings chapter 18. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently. Wait quietly. 1 Kings chapter 18. Before we go to 18, look at 17 verse 1. 17 verse 1. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand. Let me just pause there. Here's Elisha, and there's Ahab the king. And Elisha said, I'm standing before God. Don't you like that? The king is there. He said, doesn't say, I'm standing before you. I'm standing before God. And beloved, in this world, you meet with powerful men, unkind men. You're not standing before them. You're standing before the Lord. But let's read on. Go show thyself unto Ahab. That's chapter 18. In verse 1. Go show thyself unto Ahab. Now come to chapter 18, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Oh, I like that. Back in 1976, I was there in Israel, I saw Carmel. Now, you mountain climbers, Carmel was 2,000 feet in a rough terrain. And Elijah wasn't a young boy. And he climbed to the top of Carmel. That was some climb. And cast himself upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. The Mediterranean Sea is out there, nice blue water. A beautiful scene. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. Waiting on the Lord. Servant went one time, nothing. Twice, nothing. Three times, nothing. Lord, what's happening? You promised rain. I don't see anything. No, he didn't do that. He waited patiently. He waited quietly. Four times, nothing. Five times, nothing. Six times, nothing. How many times are you going to go? How many times are you going to seek rain? Seven times, yes. Elisha waited patiently on the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Lord said, I'm going to send rain. He sent his servant, didn't see anything for six times.
I think I'd be ready to quit. Wouldn't you?
But Elisha kept on. Came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down. Rain, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the wee while that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain. He waited seven times. Waited on the Lord. And you know what I like? Read the last clause there, verse 45. Ahab rode and went to Jezebel. Now he was in his chariot. See? The horse is pulling the chariot. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before. Do you get the picture? He had to climb up, and climbing down isn't easy. There's Ahab in his chariot with horses and Elijah running in front of the horses. Where did he get all that strength? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I think I'll stop. Wait on the Lord. How long have you been waiting, beloved? The story is told of a dying mother. Her older son, about 14, was saved, the younger wasn't. The mother said to her older son, I am dying. I want you to pray for your brother until he is saved. She died. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And you know how it is? Sometimes we request prayer from different brethren. At the meeting that night, this older brother got up and said, yes, I have something I want you to thank me for. I have been praying for my brother for 65 years. This morning, I received a note from him that he's saved. How about it? What about it? 65 years. Young folks, wait on the Lord. I'll give you a personal example. Medical school, third year, subject, pathology. Dr. Lennox, associate professor of pathology. You know how it is that sometimes people don't take you? Those of you in school have had that experience. I had it from elementary school. And Professor Lennox, for some reason, didn't take to me. 1 weekend, there was no assembly, so I devoted myself to Bible study and pathology. What shall I study in pathology? And I had a strong urge. I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit. Arthur Garnes studied the pathology of the kidney. And that's what I did that weekend. Monday morning, Dr. Lennox gave a quiz. What was the question? Characterize the diseases of the kidney. That's what I did over the weekend. Not because I was smart. The Spirit of God told me, you check the diseases of the kidney. And so I sat down and I wrote. The fellow next to me had not studied. He copied from me. The fellow to my left had not studied. He copied from me. We submitted the papers. Arthur Garnes got 85. The fellow next to me that copied from me on the right, he got 90, and the other one got 95. We said, oh, this isn't fair. We'll go with you to Professor, and we'll tell him just what happened. I said, no, let it be. That's the way he feels. Let it be. Graduated, internship for 2 years, and the third year, oh, that was one of my best years in pathology of all things. From 9 to 5 every day, dissecting dead bodies, and from 2 to 5 every day, examining these bodies under the microscope. Oh, I enjoy it. You know one thing I learned from that? You remember when David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? That's exactly what I took away from that year. Toward the end of the year, of all things, the dean of the medical school came to the hospital where I was and asked for me. I said, why would the dean want me? I'm nobody. But I went down, met the dean, he greeted me. And he said, you know why I've come to you? I said, I don't know why. We would like you to return to the medical school and take the place of Professor Lennox, who cheated you. Wait on the Lord. All right? Brother, I don't know if we know this hymn well enough. 508. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. You think we can manage that? If not, all right. Wait on the Lord. You don't know how he's going to work. Just wait. Wait quietly. May the Lord bless to us his word.